Okay, welcome everyone. I want to welcome you here in the name of Christ. I want to welcome everyone that's watching online and any of those who may be listening to this in the future. I hope this message finds you well. I got 45 minutes, okay? So we're going to get right into this. I'm going to do my best here. And I would appreciate your prayers that these words would be succinct and from the Lord, and that this would be for His glory and for our edification. So, I'm going to start off with two verses. Let's see if this works. Can you guys see that? If I see nods? Okay, I see nods. I saw Sam's beard shake up and down, so I know that that's a yes. So, Ephesians 4, 31 through 32. This says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." If you have your books open, if you have your app, put your thumb into this. We're going to come back to this in just a second. But before we get into that, I want to back up. So if you do have your books open, this would actually be a good exercise for you. If you turn to Ephesians 4, we're just going to go back up the verses here, and we're going to start at verse 17. If you don't have it, or if you don't want to follow along, I'll put it right up here for you. So Ephesians 4, 17 through 19. It says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness." Where the scripture is setting up two different sides, two opposing sides that I want to hammer home and look at. And so these verses here are setting up one over here. Let's go read this other side. This is verse 40, or Ephesians 4, 20 through 24. So we're just continuing down the page. 20, "But ye have not so learned Christ." This is talking to you. This is talking to me. You have learned Christ. You have been taught in Jesus Christ. This is talking to you. "But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus." What is your responsibility? Well, in verse 21, it ends in a colon there. And so whatever follows is going to describe what it says in the sentence. So let's read it. "That you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Our responsibility. We have been learned in Christ these things that we are required, that we are directed to do. Almost forgot. Now, I know it's summertime, okay? I know people have kind of taken a break from learning, but we have a pop quiz. We're going to have a pop quiz today. Let me see. Okay, we're not in school, I can't give you out any grades, but I'll do one better a little bit. I know we just had donuts, but we're going to have a pop quiz, and I think pretty much a lot of people like Kit Kats. If you don't like Kit Kats, you don't have to answer, okay? So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to walk around, I'm going to put this back up right here. I got this thing, pop quiz. If you got your books, if you have your app, I want us to focus in right here on verse 23. "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Okay, here's the deal. Just like school, don't open your apps. If you have your book, just put your thumb there and read it. Don't look at the words. No, this is not an open book test. Okay, here we go. Dan, I'm going to turn this mic on. I'm going to walk around. If you answer and you give me some good answers, you are able then to maybe earn some Kit Kats for your entire row. Okay, so let's think about this. "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." What does it mean? Don't look at the stuff. I know. What does it mean to be renewed in the spirit of your mind? Any thoughts? No wrong answers here, but there is rewards. What does it mean to be renewed in the spirit of your mind? Any guesses? Anyone? For Kit Kats. Oh, hold on. I saw Sammy's first. Just like the teacher knows, the first hands up is going to get called on. All right, Sammy, give it to us.
You're putting away the old man of you, and you're focusing on something new.
Okay.
New.
Okay, I like it. So if I could summarize what you said, having a renewed mind means a new focus, right? A new focus. I got okay. Good. Guess what? Kit Kats. Here you go. Let's pass them down. Sammy, pass them down for your row. There you go. There is plenty more. I got a lot. I don't want to have any more. Amy says I need to stop eating candy, so we're going to just keep passing it down. Okay. Anyone else? Dan, I saw your hand up.
Yes, this reminds me of Romans 12, where it talks about transformation, about metamorphosis, of making a complete change, not just physical change, but mental change, spiritual change. A turning away from the old and turning towards the new.
Okay, so if I could summarize that, I'm going to key in on two words that you said, transformation and metamorphosis, right? Turning something old into new. Okay, guess what? Kit Kat.
Good job.
Okay.
Hi.
Kit Kats for the row.
Kit Kats for the row.
Kit Kats for the row.
Let's make sure I got enough here.
There you go.
There you go. And okay. One down.
We got enough. Here's one more, hopefully, for everybody. Okay, I got enough Kit Kats for maybe one more row. Who's an answer? Rick's got it all for the row. Nice.
Be in the Word and live in the Word.
Okay, so be in the Word and live in the Word. So the focus would be on, in, and of the Word, basically, correct? Okay, I'll tell you what. I probably got enough for the road. Take the bag. That's probably enough for the rest of them. Bob, I saw your hand up. I'll give you that, but I don't got any Kit Kats left. How about that?
No, I'm not playing. No.
Okay.
I think I keyed on the word renewed.
Yes.
So they renewed once. They were brand new at one time. Now they're re-strengthening, reaffirming, okay. Re-gratifying. So there's an activity within that one verse of making yourself more or greater committed, just like the others have said, to what you're learning.
Okay. I like that. Thank you, guys. Bob, thank you for keying in on that. And look, even Dan sharing. That goes with the rest of our sermon. You'll pick that up later, so that's great. So I like that you keyed in on the word renewed. And thank you for participating in our pop quiz. Dan, I'm going to turn this one off. So renewed. This renewed in the spirit of your mind, what does that mean? I'm glad we got some honest answers. I'm glad you guys gave me some good feedback. I like that. So let's look at this. What does it mean? If I'm just focusing in on this word renew, it means this is from Strong's, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce this, but it's from these two different words, and it means to renovate. To renovate, that is reform or renew, a renovation. We're going to get into this just a little later, but I'm also going to talk about what it means, what the word mind means. But for now, I want to focus in on renew. Renew, this renovation, a renovation. Taking something that is old. Right here we have a picture of a dilapidated house, something that is, in my opinion, not very desirable. Taking this old, dilapidated, broken down, and having a complete renovation, making it something beautiful and desirable, something that's tangible that we can look at and that we know that something is not good, something is broken down. And renewing it, restoring it, renovating it to what it should be. Now, we know that renovation takes work, right? I mean, we're not going to just start in on a renovation on the beforehand. You can't, it doesn't just go, you see here there's a before and an after. It doesn't just go to the after, right? It takes work. It takes work to get from the before to the after. So, believe it or not, we're going to keep reading in Ephesians, and it's going to tell us about this work. It's going to tell us about the before and the after. It's going to tell us about this renovation that needs to happen. So let's keep reading Ephesians 4, 25 through 30. These are our directions to renovate. 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Again, he's talking to you. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Directions to renovate. Things that we can, these are not academic exercises. These are very tangible, relatable aspects of our life that we're able to implement if you want. Verse 30 says, grieve not the Spirit. Now, Brian did a study on this a couple months ago on Wednesday night where he touched on part of this about grieving the Spirit, and that means to make this Spirit distressed or cause it grief or be sad or be in heaviness or sorrow. When it says that we're sealed by this Holy Spirit, that means that we are marked. You are stamped by this Holy Spirit. You are set apart. You are the Lord's. You have taken upon yourself the name of Jesus Christ. You are marked as such. This is instruction here. This part of this renovation is not to grieve that Spirit that is marked and sealed you, that is a part of you. So let's recap. I know I jumped around in Ephesians. I went down and back and around. So I'm going to throw this up here. Let's recap this real quick. So recap these verses. We have, like I said, two different sides, a dichotomy. We have vanity of the mind. Wait, hold on. Which side is it on? Vanity of the mind and renewed spirit of mind. So let's go through these. And if you start at the verses that we read, including verse 31 and 32, you're going to see this. You're going to see evidences for both. Vanity of the mind is corrupt and lustful. And these are pulled right out of this passage. Corrupt or lustful. Bitterness and malice, wrath and anger, clamor, evil speaking, corrupt communication, and lying. A renewed spirit of the mind, you can read them here. Created in righteousness and true holiness, good to the use of edifying. Minister grace unto the hearers. It's kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, and truth. So, I'm going to ask you a question. Unlike the pop quiz, I'm not asking you to answer out loud. I want you to think in your minds, to which column do you most closely identify? Which column do you see reflected in your life the most? This is a legitimately honest question. I had to be honest with myself when I'm putting this together. Do you see these things in the vanity of the mind? Is your renovation complete? Mosiah 1:19, it's a scripture that gets quoted many times. We're all familiar with it. It says that the natural man is an enemy to God. 1 Corinthians 2:14 echoes this sentiment, and it says that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Receiving the things of a renewed and renovated mind. Just because vanity of the mind, these things in this column, may come naturally to you, does not make their existence in our lives an excuse. They are not an excuse. Each one of the things up here that can be easily evidenced in our lives one way or the other, this is a choice. We make a choice to exercise these things in our lives. We talked about what it means to be renewed, a renovation. But I told you I wanted to come back to this. I wanted to talk about what it means for the mind, the definition of the mind, which is I'm not going to try to pronounce any Greek for that. I'm going to leave this up here. But the mind, it means the intellect, that is the mind, divine or human, in thought, feeling, or will. Our will. It is your will, a renovated will, a renewed, renovated will, a renewed, renovated intellect. So, what do you will? What do you want to do in your life? We have a choice. We make a conscious choice, choosing between these two. A conscious decision. So, how do we do it? I don't think any of us is perfect, but when we are presented with the opportunity to exercise vanity of the mind, we have to turn off the natural tendencies that are rooted in the vanity of the mind. We have to desire to undertake a renovation of the mind. Why? Not because you have to, but because you want to. Do you want to have a renewed spirit of the mind? A renovated will. What is your will in life? My will is to, and how is it evidenced? Is the actions in your lives concurrent with your true will? Or do your actions tell you what your will really is? So I have an example. So an example of turning off these things, of confronting these things, and to override by a will of a renewed spirit of mind. So let me look at the time. So a couple weeks ago, I live in Green Valley. And a couple weeks ago, they had a yearly, every year Green Valley has a day, a dump day, where you can fill up a truck or a trailer. I saw some guy drive by with a gigantic U-Haul, and you can do whatever you want, fill it up, bring it up, and throw it away for free. And it's a big community thing. And I had some stuff to get rid of, so I went where I needed to go. I filled up a truck full of stuff, you know, scrap, trash, whatever it was. And it was open from 8 to 2. Stick with me here. 8 to 2. 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. So I got up in the morning, went and got the stuff, drove back into town, got in line about 10:30. And I'm thinking, man, I am set. I am made. Right, I got a bottle of water. I got the radio. It's not a terrible day outside. I am set. And I sit. And I sit. And I sit. And I inch along. And I inch along. And inch along. And I'm watching the clock thinking, this is going to be a problem. This is going to be a problem. Like, it's 10:30. Then it's 11:30. Then it's 12:30. And I'm sitting here going, we're not moving. I mean, people are getting out of their cars and walking around to get some exercise instead of sitting in the line. That's how slow this thing's moving. And so we finally move. I get up to the entrance, and it's 1:30. And there's a whole big long line of cars, two side streets and all down Main Street still. And so I get up to the gate, and I've been sitting there, and now my mood has changed a little bit. I'm struggling just a little bit with my mood. And I'm sitting there. I finally get through the gate. There's one car ahead of me. We get almost pulled up right to the place where the people get up to take it out, and the line stops. And in front of me, two guys jump out of their truck who have been sitting in the line the same exact amount of time as me. They hold up the line by jumping out of their truck, going to the back, and then they decide that now is the time, right before I'm supposed to go up there, to undo every single little strap and all the little things on the truck and make it so easy for the people to do it. When we had 3.5 hours for them to be able to do that, I'm finally almost there, and I'm sitting there, and they get out, and they do this. Now, you can understand where maybe naturally my mind would go. I started to get a little irritated about this, okay? I started to get a little frustrated. I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. We sat in this whole line. I'm watching these people. And now, right at the moment, right when I can get out of here, now you get out and you do all these different things. And you're taking these things off and you're holding up this line. Like, right here, you couldn't have done this when people were getting out and walking their dogs around the thing, like right now. And then it hit me. And I was transported in a way. My thoughts were transported, and I flipped places. I flipped places, and I had a thought. I had a thought. Follow me here. I go to the dump. I have a truckload of stuff. I call up my buddy. Hey, Milo. Hey, Daniel. Hey, DA. Sean, sorry, your back's broke, so I can't have you help me. But, you know, like, hey, could you come help me move this stuff? Can you come help me take this to the dump? I've been needing to get out of the house. Sure. So we go, and we're sitting in the line, you know, 1, 2, 3.5 hours. Time doesn't really seem to go by that quick. We're joking around with each other, having fun. We finally get up to the thing, and it's like, oh, man, finally, we're done. This is great. And you look over at me and say, oh, we forgot to undo the straps. And I'm like, oh, no, we're going to be holding up the line. We're right there. Let's hop out and get it done. So we hop out. We get the straps undone, you know, hoping that the people behind us will exercise some grace and understanding with us. It completely slipped our mind. We had no idea. We totally forgot. But at least we were able to get it done. I had to turn off my natural reaction to what was going on in front of me. My mind went to putting myself into this situation that I was getting mad at. where I could see exactly how something like that could happen, why there was no malice or ill intent, but my natural reaction was to get after those people and be angry and upset and frustrated with them because of something that maybe they didn't even know that they did. Turning off these things in our mind, confronting the vanity of our mind, and being able to exercise a renovated will to not want to do those things, to try to overcome, to put our mental state, the choices that we make, in a better position. So, now that I've laid this foundation here, and this understanding, I hope, is kind of an understanding of a renovated or renewed mind, I want to circle back. I want to go back to the two verses that I started with. This is Ephesians 4, 31 through 32. So I'm going to go back and I'm going to take these one at a time just really quick. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. I know at the dump, I guarantee you I had to put away some things. So what is the instruction? And be kind one to another. And the title of my sermon, Tender-Hearted. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Be ye kind one to another. Folks, this is talking to us. As brothers and sisters, we read through this, we are called to be tender-hearted. To exercise a tender heart in kindness and forgiveness with one another, for each other. So, tender-hearted, this is sympathetic. It's pitiful. This is well-compassion. I want us to think, how do we treat each other? Now, I got to think about this. I'm not being accusatory or saying we're not. I just want us to think about this. How are we treating each other? How do you approach your brothers and sisters in the church? How do you approach your brothers and sisters outside of this body or this congregation to others in the church? Your fellow peers, your fellow believers. Are we kind to one another? Are we forgiving one another? Are we tender-hearted? From which one of these columns do your thoughts and your intentions and your motivations and interactions with your brothers and sisters originate? With the people sitting here in this room, which column does it come from? Now, you may think that's an unfair question, or maybe an unimportant one, but I want to leave this up here real quick, and I want to go over a story. So here's the deal. You're not going to get off easy. I'm not throwing it up here. If you have your Book of Mormon, so you're going to turn with me. I'll give you the page number if you want. We're going to go to Helaman chapter 2. Helaman chapter 2. We're going to start right there at verse 1 in Helaman chapter 2. It's on 548. And if you have your app, I encourage you to use that. There's going to be some cool, exciting updates come out for that. So if you want to get a refresher on finding your app and using it, that would be great. I want to go to Helaman chapter 2. And keep these things in mind as we explore the story. Let me make sure I got the time. Helaman chapter 2. So this is about 50 years before Christ. This is talking, I'm setting the stage here, 50 years before Christ here on this land. And in verse 1 it says, "And now it came to pass in the 40 and third year the reign of Judges." So the reign of Judges has been going on for 43 years. This is 50 years before Christ. "There was no contention among the people of Nephi, save it were a little pride which was in the church, which had caused some little dissensions among the people, which affairs were settled in the ending of the 40 and third year." Okay. You may read that by Cody. It's no big deal, right? There's just a little bit of pride. They got a tramp down, everything was smoothed over, everybody was cool. Okay, fair enough. Let's keep reading. Verse 2, "And there was no contention among the people in the 40 and 4th year." Good. "Neither was there much contention in the 40 and 5th year." Even better. Things are looking great, right? Verse 3, "And it came to pass in the 40 and 6th, yea, there were much contentions and many dissensions, in the which there were an exceeding great many which departed out of the land of Zarahemla and went forth unto the land northward to inherit the land." Well, hang on. We just talked about just being a little bit of pride in the church. It got taken care of, no big deal. Something happened. These are the people of the church. This is not this is not a random group. We are talking about the people of the church. We're talking about us. This, we can use this as a self-reflection. We can use this as an example here. Something happened where it wasn't just a little pride anymore. It turned into much contentions, dissensions. People left. You continue to read down through the verses, you'll see that there was a, it talks about this mass migration. It talks about where they went. You flip over to 16 and 21. And what you're going to do, 16 through 21, what you're going to do is these verses oscillate. It goes back and forth between righteousness and pride, and it sets up this picture of these, this progression of the church. And it's a warning. This, we can use this as a warning to us. I'm not going to read 16 through 21, but it talks about there was a righteous judge. It was Helaman. Things got set up. And then verse 22. I want to read 22 if you'll allow me. I want to read a couple verses, just 4 or 5 right here. I'm going to start in 22. And it came to pass that in this same year there was exceeding great prosperity in the church, insomuch that there were thousands who did join themselves into the church and were baptized unto repentance. The church is in a good place. Now, the church is in a good place. And so great was the prosperity of the church, and so many the blessings which were poured out upon the people, that even the high priests and the teachers were themselves astonished beyond measure. Incredible. I can't even imagine. That's absolutely incredible. What a time to be there. I'm being genuine. How amazing. And it came to pass that the work of the Lord did prosper unto the baptizing and uniting to the church of God many souls, yea, even tens of thousands. Thus we may see that the Lord is merciful unto all who will in the sincerity of their hearts call upon his holy name. Yea, thus we see that the gate of heaven is open unto all, even to those who will believe on the name of Jesus Christ, which is the Son of God. And it talks about who, and we'll read 26. Yea, we see that whoever will lay a hold upon the word of God, which is quick and powerful, which shall divide asunder all the cunning and the snares and the wiles of the devil, and lead the man of Christ in a straight and narrow course across the everlasting gulf of misery, which is prepared to engulf the wicked and land their souls, yea, their immortal souls at the right hand of God, in the kingdom of heaven, to sit down with Abraham and Isaac and with Jacob and with all our holy fathers, to go no more out. And in this year there were continual rejoicing in the land of Zarahemla and in all the regions round about. So, 28 says that there was peace and exceeding great joy. Now, 29. And in the 50 and first year of the reign of Judges, there was peace also, save it were the pride which began to enter into the church, not into the church of God, but into the hearts of the people who professed to belong to the church of God. They were lifted up in pride, even to the persecution of many of their brethren. And as we go through, we see how the people of the church handled this, how the people outside handled that. It said that they fasted and prayed off. But I want to keep going down through this story. And I'm getting to a point. So, 32. And it came to pass that the 50 and second year ended in peace also, saving it were the exceeding great pride which had gotten into the hearts of the people, and it was because of their exceeding great riches and their prosperity in the land, and it did grow upon them from day to day. So, I'm going to summarize. We're not going to keep reading. Helaman died. Nephi reigned in the stead of the judges. There were more dissensions in the church. If you go to verse 35, it talks about this. And then the people were stirred up to anger. The people that were lifted up in pride went to the Lamanites and got the Lamanites mad at the other people. And so they went to war with them. And it caused this whole big deal. 44. Just a couple more verses out of here. Helaman 2:44. Now this great loss of the Nephites and the great slaughter which was among them would not have happened had it not been for their wickedness and their abomination which was among them. And it was also among those also which professed to belong to the church of God. And it was because of their pride of their hearts, because of their exceeding riches, yea, it was because of their oppression to the poor, withholding their food from the hungry, withholding their clothing from the naked, and smiting their humble brethren upon the cheek, making a mock of that which was sacred, denying the spirit of prophecy and a revelation, murdering, plundering, lying, stealing, committing adultery, rising up in great contentions, and deserting away into the land of Nephi among the Lamanites, And because of this, their great wickedness and their boastings in their own strength, they were left in their own strength. Therefore, they did not prosper, but were afflicted and smitten and driven before the Lamanites until they had lost possession of almost all their lands. And it goes on and talks about 54 through 62, talks about how they behave, why and how they became weak. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read it because I think you get the point. Even just a little pride, even just a little vanity of the mind. These things, talking to the people of the church, talking to us, I am guilty of this. I am guilty of vanity of the mind. I don't want to do it anymore. I desire to have a truly renovated mind. My will, I want my will to change. We have enough battles to fight outside, and I'm not trying to create issues here, but what I'm saying is we have enough battles to fight outside. Increasing pressure to conform, conformity to the standards of the world. Why do we even let a little pride cause contention amongst ourselves? I'm not saying we're contending, but we don't need to even let a little pride in. I'm asking you and confessing to you this day that I have not done a good job of this. So I will put myself out there. Remind me of this. Hold me accountable. Come up to me and tell me. Amy's got to tell me stuff all the time. Okay, I don't even realize that I'm doing it. Come up to me and tell me. I don't want to do this anymore. Do you have that same desire? Are you willing to be held accountable as well? Ask for to be held to have for that accountability, for us to be able to open to correction, and for our brothers and sisters to come to us and say, hey, we got something we need to fix. We need to come together. There's enough stuff that is going on outside of these walls. 1 Peter 3, 8 through 9. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. This is direction to us. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Again, talking about this mind. We are supposed to be of this one renovated, renewed mind and will and intellect and desire to exercise the things of the Spirit one with another, this love. Be pitiful, tender-hearted with each other. Just like the dump, I know that I've not exercised the things like I did with my brothers and sisters. I didn't give you the benefit of the doubt. I wasn't tender-hearted. I wasn't courteous. I wasn't pitiful. I admit that to you today. Help me to do better as well. And let's be open to this ourselves. This is this direction. We see this similarly in Philippians 2, 1 through 5. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. We are supposed to share in this. This is a shared experience between ourselves. The putting away of the vanity of the mind, this new mind, this new will, this is a shared experience between us. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than themselves. That's a hard one. It's easy to say, but it's hard to do. And this is even harder. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Pretty weighty example to follow, but one to which we are called. The mind, shared partakers of this mind, do you want that? Is that who we are? Is that who you are? Is that who you want to be? And again, not accusatory. I'm not even saying we're doing a bad job. I'm asking you a genuine, honest question. Is this you? Matthew 18, 15 through 17. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, and go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone, if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Exercising a renovated mind in resolving conflicts. What was the word for mind? This intellect, this will. Do you have the will to do it? It's uncomfortable. It's not fun. It's really easy and natural to avoid conflict. That's one of our natural tendencies. But we are called to overcome these natural tendencies because there is benefit to us, to each other, to the body. We're called to overcome a lot of things that we do naturally. But we need to do it. These are the words of Jesus Christ. He holds us to the standard, and this is what's expected of us. Do you have the will to do it? Mosiah 2, 48 through 49. And finally, I cannot tell you all the things whereby ye may commit sin, for there are diverse ways and means, even so many that I cannot number them. But this much I can tell you, that if ye do not watch yourselves, and your thoughts, and your words, and your deeds, and observe to keep the commandments of God and continue in the faith of what ye have heard concerning the coming of our Lord, even unto the end of your lives, ye must perish. I guarantee you, most everyone in this room has heard this read many times. But what's the important, what can we pull out of this? That's the most important and actionable part, is that these things are a choice. He's giving us direction and saying, if you don't watch yourselves, if you don't watch your thoughts, if you don't pay attention to have this renewed and renovated mind, this is what's going to happen. This is why it's important. But it is a choice. It's a choice for you to exercise. It's a choice that we are given, and we are told that these choices have consequences. Colossians 3, 12 through 17. Put on, therefore, and this is, if I could say anything, we are putting this all together. We're going to wrap this up with a nice bow. Colossians 3, 12 through 17. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. It's starting to sound pretty familiar. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father, God and the Father by him. I don't even know what to add to that. What a perfect encapsulation of what we're talking about. Our heart and our mind, the things that we do in word and deed, done unto the in the name of Christ, letting peace rule in our hearts. I'm going to close with this verse, Philippians 4, 8 through 9. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. This is where your mind should be. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. I cannot imagine a better consequence for having this mind. I hope that I'm going to put this back up real quick. Oh, I didn't put it. Uh-oh, sorry. I didn't put it up there. I'm going to put this back up real quick. Come on. Play. I'm going to put this back up here as I close. I thank you so much for your time, and I appreciate it. And I hope if anybody, is that, okay, that's up. Yep. Thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it.